Please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 80. Psalm 80, as we consider the theme this morning of pleading for a nation. Pleading for a nation. Psalm 80, notice with me verses 1 through 19. Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. We beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch which thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now some believe that this psalm was written when Solomon's son Rehoboam was king. But you notice with me, Second Chronicles chapter 12. Notice verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, Shishak, king of of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 80,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Libyans, the Sukkims, the Ethiopians. And they took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and he took all. He carried away also the shield of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass, and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well." As I think about our nation, as I think about America and the elections of 2010, the elections of 2010, of course, are described as historic. However, one of the things I've noticed is that the issues are the economy. The issues are taxes and cap and trade and financial things. We're no longer debating abortion. We're no longer debating matters of morality. Let me remind you that righteousness, not conservatism, exalts a nation. David gives of Christian Law Association reminds us it's righteousness, not the conservatives, that will exalt a nation. Here in this context, if this is the historical setting, we have Shishak of Egypt being sent by God to chasten the nation of Israel. And what Psalm 80 is then is a prayer for the restoration of this nation. Here's what it says in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You notice here Asaph, the writer of this psalm, the penman of this psalm, pleads with the shepherd of Israel to hear his prayer, to hear the prayer that they're making for Israel. And he's asking God to shed his glory upon the nation. As it says, shine forth in verse 1. Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin represent the three sections of Israel. Ephraim represents northern Israel. Manasseh represents the other side of Jordan. And Benjamin represents the nation, the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah. Now, three times in this psalm, notice, he asks God to turn us again. Verse 3, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. He's pleading with God for restoration of God's blessing, but he's also calling for repentance of God's people. As he's talking about turning us again, O God, he's talking about repentance, to change of direction. Notice he's calling for God to lead them, to grant repentance in the nation. I want us to notice several aspects related to God dealing with a nation. How does God deal with a nation? First of all, notice national despair in verses 4 through 6. Notice the despair of this nation as Shishak, possibly the king of Egypt, comes and attacks this nation. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Notice the despair here as God is dealing with this nation. Proverbs 29 verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. As we think about the wicked people in our government, those that are leading our nation into greater wickedness, I believe there should be a mourning that takes place in our land. You know, it says in verse 4 that God is angry against the prayer of his people. Against the prayer of his people. You see, when we're praying while living a wicked lifestyle, you have even a nation that's living in wickedness that has a form of prayer, even that prayer brings God's anger. God was angry against the prayer of his people in this setting. Notice the sorrow there in verse 5. As it says, thou feedest them with the bread of tears. The bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. I want you to hold your place here and notice with me Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Luke chapter 19, as we think about the tears that are in sorrow, I want you to notice Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over, of course this is Jesus Christ, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at last, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine eyes shall cast a trench, thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Of course, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, knew the judgment that was coming upon the nation of Israel in A.D. 70, as the Roman government marched in under General Titus and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Sorrow. But also Psalm 80, verse 6, talks about strife. Strife. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors. Strife. But also shame. It says that Israel's enemies laughed at their calamity. Our enemies laugh among themselves. You know, I think of America. We're now in strife and conflict with other nations around the world. America is also losing its respect among the nations of the world. National despair. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Our nation is also experiencing a time of despair, a time of mourning and sorrow. Notice also national design, the design that God had for this nation. It says in verse 8, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Notice then, it says, verse 12, Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that they all which pass by do pluck her? But notice the design that God has had for the nation of Israel. Israel was transplanted from Egypt to Canaan. It says in verse 8, Thou hast brought out a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. God deals with this in Isaiah's prophecy about the vineyard, the vine that was planted in Palestine. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. We see the same picture here of a vineyard. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned, nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. God had a plan, a design for Israel. The Canaanites were expelled from the land because of their wickedness. That's what we see in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. Now, I know this is not politically correct, but as I understand, many Native American cultures, Indian cultures, were filled with pagan practices. What I notice in Scripture is that God gives a land to a less wicked nation. I believe that God had a design for people from Europe coming here to establish a quote-unquote Christian nation. But God will expel a nation from a land because of their wickedness. It says in verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 80 that Israel prospered under David and Solomon. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow, the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. The prosperity. Israel's influence spread from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. And I think of the hymn, "O Beautiful for Spacious Skies," for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Verse 4 says, "O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." Again, America's influence spread from sea to shining sea by way of application. But as we see here, a nation that is founded upon the Word of God, it's founded upon the Bible, is able to receive the blessing of God. In 1892, the United States Supreme Court examined our founding documents. And after examining our founding documents, they unanimously concluded that America was established as a Christian nation. How we have changed since 1892. Something else in God's dealing with the nation is danger. National danger, verses 12 through 16. God had a plan in mind for Israel. And I believe by application, God has had a plan in mind for America. But you notice here then, after he's talking about the vineyard, that says, "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, since they all which pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it. The wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance." Notice the dangers. Now, God broke down the hedge of protection for the nation. That's what we see in verse 12. "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges?" The husbandmen in the Israelite culture would often plant a hedge of thorns about a vineyard to keep out predators, to keep out animals and such that would destroy the vines. I want you to notice this, Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. As far as the nation of Israel, God was seeking someone to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap, to protect the nation of Israel. But God was tearing down the vineyard, the hedge around the vineyard. Notice with me Ezekiel 22, verse 30 and 31. "And I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." You notice here, God is only seeking for one man. Not a committee, not a denomination, not a, a group of politicians. God only needed one man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge before me for the land. But how tragic when God says, "I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath." We like to talk about God is love, God is love. But there's very little preaching today that God is a wrathful God. Notice the hedge of protection around Israel was destroyed, was broken down by God himself. I think of America. As I see the hurricanes and national disasters, the terrorist attacks upon our nation, I believe, as you look at that, that God is bringing down the hedge of protection that he has placed around our nation for two centuries. Israel experienced several dangers we see in Psalm 80. It says in verse 13, they experienced external dangers. It says in verse 13, the boar out of the wood doth waste it. The wild beast of the field hath doth devour it. Notice with me, 1 Kings 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 through 28. Here we see an external danger for the nation of Israel. Once again, 1 Kings 14, verses 25 through 28. It came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. He took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields, brassen shields, and committed them into the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Notice God's hand of protection, God's hedge of protection, was removed. Again, hurricanes, terrorist attacks, so many things upon our nation. We see external dangers in America as well. They also faced internal dangers. They were losing their godly heritage. Verse 14 and 15, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. The internal danger of losing their godly heritage. Asaph here asks God to visit his vineyard once again. You think about the internal dangers that we are facing. Diseases. We have division. Depravity. Debt. Drugs and alcohol. Depression. Death. I believe those are evidences of God's judgment upon a nation. We are also dealing with internal dangers in our own land. But then there were also eternal dangers, the judgment of God. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The more we remove God from our culture, the more we remove God from our nation, the more God will be judging our nation. Eternal dangers. But finally, I want you to see the deliverance that comes from God Himself. It says in verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will now we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. What's involved with this deliverance? A restoration. It says in verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Restoration. So we saw back in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, there was a limited amount of restoration as they returned to the God of heaven. There's also revival. It says in verse 18, so will not we go back from thee, quicken us, revive us, and we will call upon thy name. Notice with me 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It did not take very long after Solomon dedicated the temple for Israel to turn away from the God that they began worshiping. Notice it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. Very familiar verses in relation to revival in a nation. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, notice that's a conditional word, if my people, it's a conditional promise, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Revival. America needs, desperately needs, a revival. But finally, repentance. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We'll be delivered as a nation. Let me challenge with you some things in relation to pleading for our nation. First of all, pray for your nation, our nation, to turn back to God. Again, three times this psalm says, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Turn us again. Psalm 50, verse 22 says this. Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Our third president, Thomas Jefferson, said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Are we praying? Are we praying for our nation, pleading for our nation to turn back to God? Second of all, pray for our nation to be in a position to receive the blessing of God. Pray that we would be in a position to receive God's blessing. Psalm 33:22 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And yet the reality, if we look at it, our God is the God mammon. That's why we're not receiving the blessing of the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Pray that our nation will be exalted through righteousness. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Pray that our nation will be exalted once again through righteousness. And pray that our nation will repent of all that is bringing a reproach upon our nation. Proverbs 14:34 goes on to say that sin is a reproach to any people. The word reproach speaks of anything that brings shame and disgrace. Our nation needs to repent of its secularism. We need to repent of our political correctness, our pride, our gluttony, our idleness, our lack of concern, and our abominations, according to Ezekiel 16. We need to repent of the prayer and the Bible that's been banned from schools. We need to once again allow God to influence our younger generations. We need to repent of cheapening the human life through murder, through abortion, through euthanasia, through suicide. We need to repent of our national and personal indebtedness. Psalm 37:21 says that the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. As we see our nation increasing its debt, as we see individuals increasing their indebtedness and then filing bankruptcy, we see that our nation is wicked. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. We need to repent of the worldliness in our churches. And I think of Revelation 2 and 3. It still applies to churches today. We need to repent of our worldliness in Christianity. We need to repent of our easy divorce, the breakup of families. We need to repent of our alcohol and drug abuse. We need, even amongst Christians, by the way. We need to repent of our fornication, adultery, or pornography. I believe these things are bringing God's judgment upon our nation. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God is judging our nation for these things. We need to repent of our discontentment, our greed, our materialism. We need to repent of our humanistic evolution. I remember years ago seeing a cartoon of 6-year-old children entering into school singing, Jesus Loves Me. They come out of the school smoking, drinking, cursing, pregnant, using drugs, shooting each other, fighting, and shouting that God is dead. We need to repent. We need to call our nation back to God. We need to pray and plead for our nation because God is removing the hedge of our nation just like He did Israel. Father, I pray and I beg today for our nation. God, I pray that You would turn us again back to You. Father, I think of how many independent Baptist churches that are no longer standing for the convictions of earlier generations. God, Your people are a great cause in our nation turning away from You. God, help us. Thank You for the plans, the design that You had for America. God, I believe we can no longer say, God, bless America. But God, we now need to plead, God, be merciful to America. God, help us to turn back to You once again. In Jesus' name, amen.